requesting that sometime it can be spendy, we're successful. I think we had the lowest attendance this month at our meeting. It was 45 people. Usually we have 75, you know, anywhere from 50 to 75 people. We're talking for 5 solid years of diverse people of different languages. So I think it is a good model to look at, and it may be all around through the city with the different bureaus, but that interpretation and those translations, and it's required by federal law in a lot of the translation, but we've had people who have said to us, bureau people who said, I don't have time to translate it, or we can't afford to translate it. So if there's a large Latino population planning, they don't get to hear it. You know, so I really encourage that. I looked at specific things like the grant, the Graviti Cut and the grants program. And I personally feel there's programs that we really need to look at how much are we leveraging. And some of these programs you may leverage 2, 3, 4, 5 to what the dollar is in community involvement. And so I think whenever we're looking at funding any kind of programs, is it leveraged, you know, because it's important. If it's leveraged, you're really getting a lot more bang for your buck. So I feel that should be done as well.
A couple questions, and I apologize if I already missed this discussion. The new Portlander program specialist position, according to this, the CBO's analysis ties it to when and whether the council becomes a commission. When is it your intention to come to council to discuss this issue?
It's May 17th.
Okay, so it comes in May 17th. My prediction is it will be enthusiastically supported. And then, as I understand, the specialist position would perform general functions but also be the liaison to the commission?
Yes, that would be staff to the commission.
Okay, and by the way, I don't know who drafted this commission proposal document, but it's outstanding in terms of answering all the questions one might have, very comprehensive. The one thing I did want to ask you, though, and Commissioner Fritz has raised this in other contexts, why are you proposing term limits?
So part of what we want to do is we're focused on leadership development. And so what we want to do is we want to give people an opportunity to serve and grow their leadership through service, and then hopefully plug them into other opportunities across the city and make opportunities available for other new emerging leaders to also have that experience. So for us, the issue of term limits is about making as much opportunity as possible for as many people as possible to actually put their leadership into action.
You wanted to say something.
I just wanted to quickly touch on what Commissioner Novick brought up, in that we've heard the same criticism over years, and together with our coalition partners, I mean, remember, there's 95 neighborhood associations, and change happens, but it doesn't happen overnight. And so together, we developed the proposal to create the Diversity and Civic Leadership Partners. We created the proposal to bring in the small grants program, which has been probably the single most catalyst for engaging people who have not historically been engaged with the neighborhood system. So we are constantly troubleshooting, problem solving, trying to pilot programs to do exactly what it is that you brought up. And so any thoughts and any suggestions that you might have for us to consider, we certainly would be happy to consider. But just to let you know that this is something that we are constantly working on, and DCL partners and the small grants have been two things that really have energized that portion of the neighborhood system.
And as Freda pointed out, we know exactly how to do this. We need money for translation. We need money for childcare. We need money for food. That's what East Portland Action Plan has. It has $300,000, and they use some of their money wisely on small grants, and they use some of it on those services. So that's why we were asking to have that funded. It's not fair to ask volunteers to not only give their time, but also to find the money to pay for those services. I misspoke, it's May 18th, not the 17th, for the Newport Notice Commission coming, and it was Claire Adamczyk working with the leaders of that proposed commission who put this together, so I appreciate your commendation on that. So, as Amalia said, we are putting forward our long-term strategic proposal, because ONI is one of those bureaus which is grossly underfunded for what it's expected to do. I was surprised to hear Commissioner Saltzman saying we have to choose between the Public Involvement Advisory Council and the New Portlanders Council, and expecting that best practices are one and done. Best practices are not one and done in any other realm of what we do. They're constantly evolving, and we need to be aware of what the opportunities are, and then we need to fund them. So when we said we put forward a recommended budget, we actually don't recommend any of our cuts. We think that there are significant problems with cutting both crime prevention and the graffiti abatement services. We acknowledged in our budget process that we actually couldn't meet all of the values that we set out. So, for instance, the graffiti abatement reduction will result in somebody in the community losing their job. It won't be somebody in the city office, but it's still somebody's job who currently is doing valued work, which reduces crime in our community. So thank you for your consideration. I think we'll have lots more discussion, particularly on the overhead model and on the way that community engagement is part of everything we should be part of everything we do. We're offering in that with our housing ask to use our current expertise and our current systems to help get the word out about what community people should know about the Housing Bureau's proposal on Home Forwards and what they can do to engage in it. We don't have to, and we shouldn't reinvent that wheel. We have structures and partnerships that are already ready to do that, and that's what we're asking for. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you all very much. My proposal is we power forward and have the OEHR presentation, and then we'll resume our afternoon session at 1:15. Is that going to work? Then let's do just that. Thank you, Amalia and team. Thank you very much. Okay. Dante, you get the bat cleanup. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be here this afternoon now and present our budget for the next fiscal year. With me are Paul Stewart, who's our budget analyst, who's also a housing staff. Thank you. With me this afternoon are Paul Stewart, who's our budget analyst, who's a housing employee that we use liberally and pay for a good bit. And also Ms. Lakeitha Elliott, who is here. She's a member of our Budget Bureau Advisory Committee, so we're happy that she's here with us this morning, this afternoon. So it's, again, my pleasure to present the budget. It reflects continued growth as a bureau, and continued and greater utilization by city staff, bureau leadership, and council offices. If you recall last year's presentation of our annual report, at least one of you commented on your surprise at how much we do with so few staff. So guess what, I'm back. And by the way, we'll be presenting our annual report tomorrow morning, so had that happened maybe before this, I'm sure you would have just given us anything we asked for. So this past year has seen the office take on and accomplish even more, and this budget reflects that. I'd first like to thank my staff and the staff at the budget office for really assisting in this process. And probably just like every other bureau, we believe that our office and our specific office needs to be unique and vitally important to the city. Our role is to assist all bureaus to engage in an equity dialogue, evaluation, and analysis. We have done this with a total of 9 FTEs, one full-time temporary position that we will lose this June, which has been overseeing the city's Title II transition plan, and one part-time permanent administrative position, which we just added this January. This past year, we underwent a reorganization to become more efficient, and several staff have taken on additional responsibilities once the Equity 101 training became mandatory for all city employees. We work to cross-train some of our employees to assist in fulfilling this requirement of training, and it was work that they took on in addition to all of their other duties. We have one full-time administrative staff who is my executive assistant. My executive assistant, who was with this office for over 3 years, recently took a promotional opportunity as a program assistant in the Water Bureau. The depth and breadth of her work for me allowed her to gain the experience necessary to move into this higher classification for the very first time.
Mr. Director, will that transition in any way affect your commentary when it comes time for the utilities to present to their budget presenter?
It just may do that, sir. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So her move actually reflects the amount of work that having only one administrative person actually had to do in this office. The funding for the part-time administrative position has been helpful, and this budget asks that it be funded as a full-time position. In order to meet our expected 5% cut, this position was offered but not recommended recommended by CBO as a cut, although no official additional funding was offered for the position. Our overall focus of this budget is twofold: improving our staffing with the goal of aligning our model of equity assistance with a model similar to the City Budget Office or the Bureau of Human Resources, and two, to obtain ongoing program funding for Portland's Black Male Achievement Initiative. The CBO HR model would provide OEHR the opportunity to have individual staff work with a portfolio of bureaus and become more conversant and knowledgeable in a specific content area. Currently, our staff are specific subject matter experts in the ADA, in training, in human rights issues, in Title VI, in BMA, and in equity analysis. This budget request would allow us to add at least another staff analyst to begin this process. And as an aside, I'll say, there have been conversation among other bureaus, and you may even see some in bureau budget requests, to add an equity manager or an equity person in their staff. And we don't see that as the best model moving forward in terms of really being sustainable and then maintaining the consistency of how this initiative is rolling out through the city. The BMA was moved into our office last year with one-time funding, but without an ongoing program budget. Our work with the Summer Works program, our work in sponsoring workshops or conferences such as the national convening of other BMA cities from around the country that culminated in a well-attended hip-hop conference here at City Hall, and the upcoming Black Men and Boys Healing Summit, sponsored in collaboration with Multnomah County, all demonstrate the need for an ongoing budget for this program. So I'm absolutely pleased that the work of the office is seen as a true value added by the bureaus and staff, which is what creates the need for the additional staff requests that you've heard this morning. We have been frugal with our budget and efficient and effective with our work as we have become a national model doing this work nationwide. So that's all the remarks I have. Let me also do this. There was a discrepancy in the numbers in our budget, and so maybe if Paul can address that, and then Lakeitha can speak to the budget request as we make.
Yes, this question just came up this morning. The $30,000 request, as you'll see perhaps in some of your summary materials here for the BMA ongoing program budget, really only needed to be a $20,000 request. So I think that's essentially that.
Hello. Again, my name is Lakeitha Elliott. Thank you, Mayor Hills and Commissioners, for having me. And a special thank you to Commissioner Fritz for your vision for this office and continued support for this office. And so like Dante said, I serve on the Bureau Advisory Committee and was involved at the Urban League when we first thought that this office would be a great idea. And I'm here to encourage you to ensure that this much-needed office has what it needs to be successful. I'm a coupon shopper, so I'm all for getting as much as possible for as little as possible, but sometimes you have to splurge and be able to, pay full price for what you need, and so I'm asking that you all pay full price for this much-needed office. We've celebrated some wins here. We have the Charles Jordan Rule, we have the Ban the Box, and making the equity trainings mandatory, and those are our wins. But the real wins will be when we see the outcomes. And so it's okay. It's great to say we're requiring 100% of our staff to have this training, but if we don't have the capacity to offer it, then it's not really a win. It's just words, on paper. And too often we've set goals. And when I talk to my kid about setting goals, I want them to be attainable and measurable. And so I want her to be able to say, not just I set a goal. That's great you set a goal, but did you attain it? you know, did you do what was needed to make it happen? And so that's what I'm hoping that we're able to do, is make sure that this is able to happen, not just that we celebrate the win of these policies passing, but that we're really able to put some action behind those words. Also, that this is the year that the racial equity plan, the five-year racial equity plans are due across, you know, across the city. And so wanting to make sure that there's someone there who's able to analyze the information, to support the bureaus in making sure that those things happen is really important. And so advocating for the addition of the racial equity analyst position is really important. So again, I'm just challenging you all to put, you know, some action behind the words and to make sure that we're able to not just celebrate that we've set these goals or change these policies, but we're really able to see them come to fruition. So thank you.
I'll keep this very brief. Good afternoon. CBO's recommendations result in, I'm back again. Yes. Jane Marie Ford, Assistant Financial Analyst with the City Budget Office, and happy to be the Analyst for Office of Equity and Human Rights. Our recommendations essentially result in no net change to the Bureau's budget, with perhaps a very small adjustment, as was already discussed. We did not recommend the 5% general fund reductions. We also did not recommend funding new additional staff at this time due to limited ongoing general fund resources. But we do support continued exploration of a strategic staffing assessment to identify which staffing model will allow the Bureau to best carry out its policy program and training needs. So I'm happy to go into further detail if you have any questions.
More questions?
I just have a comment, and obviously we'll have a more extensive discussion tomorrow. I wanted to comment, Mayor, that I appreciate your support and your leadership of this office over your 4 years here, and that part of what happens next is going to be dependent on who the next mayor is. So that's something that I'll be weighing in my mind as to maybe, I'm glad to see no recommendations for cuts in this office, and we need to have a discussion about where it's going to go next.
I just want to ask, I was surprised to see that individual bureaus were hiring equity for experts, if mm-hmm. sort of, without really coordinating that with your bureau. And I was surprised to see that some bureaus don't meet with you. Is that an oversight?
It's
part of the debate.
Oops, sorry. It's also not really an accurate statement.
Well, it says some bureaus don't meet regularly, so.
Okay. So we meet, my office meets with the equity managers that are in existence, and there's five in the other bureaus on a regular basis, or semi-regular basis when they can attend, but for the most part, we meet fairly regularly. Most of the bureaus that now have an equity manager, I assisted at least in the document for the job description and have had these conversations with HR about what that looks like and how to frame it. And HR has their own concerns about what the classification structure would be. So, I think it's important that, you know, having police have an internal equity manager, I think is a good thing, because that's just its own entity that needs someone internal that can do that work. But going forward, it's not something that I think every bureau needs, because they don't have the same levels of issues, if you will.
So if I were an equity manager in a bureau, mm-hmm. would I coordinate my actions and the bureau's long-term strategy with you, or could I set could our bureau set its own and
could it? Yes.
Head off in a different direction?
Could it? Yes.
It doesn't seem the optimal to me.
If the bureaus were doing that, then yes, that would not be optimal, but that's not what they're doing. And it's very similar. And I invented this classification. And
so all of them are, in fact, coordinating their strategy, all the bureau equity managers with?
I think that's they're all in line with what the office is recommending in setting out the equity roadmap, et cetera, and following their direction. Just as Dante just said, that the Police Bureau is a different entity within itself, so is the Bureau of Development Services, so is Parks. And in those two bureaus, which I established the equity manager position without any additional funding, we reorganized the funding. It's so that it's an assistant to the director. It's at that level to look at the equity issues throughout the bureau and not just a small piece of it. It's everybody in the Bureau needs to be thinking in terms of what's the appropriate actions to correct past disparities and promote equity.
Well, maybe I'm not wording my question properly. I understand what you're saying, and I think I'm just, if a Bureau decides to go in this direction, but the city is going in this direction, are there any checks and balances?
It's yeah, really the commissioner in charge.
Yeah, it's really up to us. I mean, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that happen. I'm not suggesting that at all. So.
So, Frida.
You talk about you do equity training, which is great. When you're doing your training, is it just I see equity two ways. The internal customers, which are the employees that need to be trained on how to work within their department, the hiring, all that. But then there's also the issue of how they, for lack of more, customer service to the external people. Do they get both kinds of training?
Absolutely.
Okay. And are you doing, once all the training, and I know it takes a while, our school district's been doing it, takes a while to get through all that. Once the training done, how are you going to see if they're actually using it, especially to the external customer?
That's what the equity plans will demonstrate. Each Bureau is essentially creating a racial equity strategic plan. It's a five-year plan that provides action items. And tomorrow I'm going to detail one. The Water Bureau has an excellent one I'm going to show. But action items, who's responsible for it, the time frames within which it will happen, and what the metrics are for those. And so that's a requirement of each of the Bureaus, and all of the staff have been involved and engaged in some sense of doing an assessment of their Bureau and how they are providing the services externally and how they're doing internally, and then this document is the culmination of that assessment.
Regarding that, because our district just did it, my pet peeve was customer service of front desk people who work with our parents and stuff. And after the training, the superintendent actually, a secret buyer, so to speak. But instead, he had diverse groups, whether they be Latino, Russian, spoke English not, or whatever, actually visited schools and asked basic questions to see how they responded. Were they actually following through with the training that they were receiving? And that's what I'm kind of getting at, because you can train someone, but that doesn't mean they will utilize the training,
right,
and that it'll segue into to the public there that are they're interfacing with.
Dante, thank you. I just want to say, this very small organization under your leadership has taken on some new responsibilities that have been quite challenging, supporting the COPL, supporting the Black Male Achievement Initiative. This is a small group of people that just keep saying yes to doing more, and I just want to appreciate the spirit that you and your staff and all that have been doing that work have brought to it, because it would have been easy to say no, and that's, of course, never your answer, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So want to take a 45-minute break or an hour break?
Hour.
Okay. 1:30 to 4:30 instead of 1 to 4. Would that work?
I think we were going to go to 3.
Sorry. 1:30 to 4 instead of 1 to 3:30.
Okay. That work? I would personally rather take 45 minutes and have some, at least 15 minutes in between later meetings.
Yeah, we have. All right. Commissioner,
how many bureaus are we doing this afternoon?
How many?
Three, Water Bureau and Development Services.
I prefer the hour, but Mayor, right, you're the mayor for a reason.
1:20. We'll compromise.